going to try to slow down just a little bit tonight. We'll take a look at a couple of these verses, and the choir is not going to be practicing on Wednesday nights. They're going to start practicing on Sunday afternoon, so I feel like I'm pretty well open until about 8 o'clock, 8:30, 9 o'clock, something like that. So we'll go through God's Word. But 1 Peter chapter number 1, verse number 13, wherefore gird up the loins of your mind. Or here he's saying, prepare your mind. Get your mind settled. Get it ready. In other places in the Bible where he talks about girding up your loins, he's talking about getting ready for battle. But here he wants us to get our mind. Look at the next word. Be sober. And I know we get start thinking about alcoholics, but you got to be sober in your mind. And it's got to be not just from alcohol, but also just day in and day out, keep your mind sober. Keep your mind under control. Does anybody else have trouble with their mind from time to time? I do. My mind thinks things it shouldn't think. My mind wants me to do things I shouldn't do. My mind has thoughts about other people that I shouldn't have. And here he's saying, he's gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end. Look at this next couple of words here. For the grace, we preached on grace Sunday morning, how God gives us unmerited favor, the grace of God that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now that unmerited favor that we were preaching about on Sunday morning and how that God gives us his grace when we're so undeserving, you think about this, when Christ reveals himself again, you think about the unmerited favor, the undeserving love, the undeserving gift that God's going to give us when he calls us up out of here. You know, day in and day out, I think about the way that God blesses me and God takes care of me and I'm so unworthy. But what about when we finally get to be in his presence? When we finally get to that goal that we've been reaching for, man, that's going to be some unmerited favor that we have never experienced before. He says, as obedient children. Now, as Peter is writing this, you'll notice that he uses a lot of terminology that almost makes you think that he's writing to newborn Christians, that he's writing to young Christians. He says, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to former lust in your ignorance. I like the way that he said that. He said, don't fashion yourselves the way that you used to be. He said, because you was ignorant then. You know what? There's a difference between being ignorant and being stupid. Ignorant is not knowing. Ignorant is you done stuff that you didn't know better than to do. The devil laid a trap out there for you, and you was lost, and you fell into it, and you're ignorant of it. But you know, after you're saved by the grace of God, God reveals a whole lot of stuff to us. And a lot of times, God shows us those traps that are in front of us. And a lot of times when we fall into traps of Satan, it's not because, once we're saved by the grace of God, it's not because of ignorance, it's because of stupidity. We get to the place that we know that Satan, that hey, this is a trap. We know that this is something that we should stay away from, and we're no longer ignorant of it. God has showed it to us, and now we got to decide whether or not we're going to step into it. And if we do, it's because of our stupidity, not because of our ignorance. I know we don't like to be called stupid, but that's the way that it works out. Verse number 15. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. He said, in all your life, be holy. In anything that you do, I know that I've met people and they say, well, I'm a Christian and I act right when I do this and this, but I think when I'm doing this, that one of the best examples I can think of is I can remember that there was a pastor in town when they were trying to pass liquor by the drink. And he was actually promoting, voting for liquor by the drink. And someone asked him and said, how in the world, being a pastor of a church, can you promote that? Can you say, and he said, well, I think it's good for our economy. He said, I'm speaking as a citizen of our town and our community, not as a Christian. Well, you know what? When God changed my life and I become a child of God, there is no separating that any longer. There is no, I'm not a citizen of the community. I'm not a representative of a town. I am a child of God, and there is no separating that. And I should never want to separate that. He says, in all of your conversation, be ye holy. Or in all of your life. Verse number 16. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. He says, if you're calling on God as your Father, he says, then live your time. And this word fear here is not fear like, oh, I'm so afraid, but it is in reverence and respect of God. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. He says, that word redeemed, you've been bought with a price. You know, you have been purchased. You belong to God. And he says, and you're not purchased by, look what he says right here. You are not purchased with corruptible things, such as silver and gold. Somebody didn't pay a price of money. They didn't pay a price of something that we think of, these empty things that we hold dear to our lives and what we hold in great possession. And oh, they mean so much to us here on this earth, when the Bible tells us that they're all going to melt with a fervent heat one day. But we hold them special to us. But he says, you were not redeemed. You were not purchased. You were not given life by corruptible things such as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. He says, but you were bought, verse number 19, with the precious blood of Christ. It wasn't by something that can be earned. It wasn't by something that is corruptible. It's not by something that has got any tarnish to it. But you are purchased by the precious blood of Jesus Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. He was the perfect sacrifice for your sin and for my sin. You know, if it could have been purchased by something corruptible, such as silver or gold, then our God would have had to be a monster to let his son go through what he went through there on the cross. But I want to tell you tonight that it was not anything that we could do by works. It was not anything that we could purchase. It was not anything that could be given except through and by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Peter here, he was a fisherman. He was probably a tough guy. He was probably somebody that was kind of rough around the edges. He made his living fishing for a living until one day when Jesus passed by and he says, you follow me and I'll make you a fisher of men. And the Bible tells us that Peter left his nets. He left all. He forsook it all and followed after Christ. Now, this man that's supposed to be so tough, here he is realizing that he has been redeemed, that he has been purchased. And I love the way that he puts it, because there's a lot of people that say once you start preaching about the blood of Jesus Christ, that you're preaching a slaughterhouse religion, that you're preaching something that's cruel and crude, and that we shouldn't even talk about because we shouldn't be talking about the blood. But I want to tell you something tonight, that blood is precious to us. That's what purchased us. That's what Christ gave for your salvation and for my salvation. He was willing to give his life and to give his blood that my sins could be covered. And here this tough guy, this fisherman, he's getting down and he's being sensitive with it. And he says, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Listen, let's not get too tied up in this, because you'll get to where you're going. Now, wait a minute, this don't make sense. Did you know that before God, before the foundations of the world, God has always been, forever and ever. My son has asked me before, when did God start? God's always been. But did you know that even before this world was created, before you were ever a twinkle in anybody's eye, that God knew that you were going to need a Savior, and that he foreordained, he planned a plan that when you messed up, that his darling son would be a sacrifice for you. Man, how great of a God is that? Because if I had known all of that, I'd probably said, I ain't even going to fool messing with it. I ain't even going to fool with him. But he loved us so much and wanted to give us that opportunity to live for him, that before the foundation of the world, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Now, I know when you get talking about this foreordained and before the foundations of the world, you start going, wait a minute, I don't understand. Don't worry about understanding it. Just believe that God had a plan for you before you was ever even thought of. Just believe that God had a plan for your salvation, to be able to purchase you, to redeem you before you was ever even on this earth, before the earth was ever made. God had a plan for you, and it was by the precious blood of his son, Jesus Christ, whom by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Verse number 22, excuse me, seeing ye have purified souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit, an unfeigned love to the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart, fervently. Being born again. Listen, I mean, there's several times in the scripture it sounds like he's talking to newborn Christians. And you know what? I've been saved for a long time. I'm 36 years old and I got saved at 7. So I've been saved for a long time, 29 years. You didn't know I could do math that quick in my head, did you? I almost had to take my shoes off there for a second. I've been saved for 29 years. But sometimes my maturity in Christ, I'm still just like a newborn baby. So, I mean, I ought to be, if you could see my spiritual age this morning, I would still be in my spiritual Pampers. I would still be spiritually just a toddler. But I'm glad that God still, He says, you know what? I'm going to keep speaking to you like a newborn baby because you're a work in progress. You keep going. You keep trying to grow. Verse number 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. You know what? If you want to grow and mature as a Christian, you realize that you're not born of a corruptible seed, but of an incorruptible seed, and you get in the word of God and you study the word of God, we will begin to mature as Christians. Verse number 24, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. Listen, in other words, he's saying, you know, everything, there's glory in the things that God created here, but the grass will go away, the flower will fade away. But verse number 25, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. You can stand on this forever and ever and ever. Things change constantly. Things that I thought would always be the same, all of a sudden they're not the same anymore. The things that I thought when I was little that this would never happen and that would never happen. And man, there's been a ton of things that we've talked about in our family that we thought this would always be the same. And all of a sudden everything's different. But I want you to know that the word of God has never changed. That God's word has never changed. Chapter number two, verse number one. I'm getting somewhere here in just a minute. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings. Now he's telling us here what we ought to lay aside now that we're newborn babes in Christ, or now that we're living for Christ. He says, lay these things aside. Verse number two, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If you want to grow in Christ, you desire the sincere milk of the word. Now, I want to tell you something. My son is 14 years old, and you cannot feel the young enough. When he sits down to eat, he eats, and 20 minutes later, he's ready to eat again, and 5 minutes later, he's ready to eat again. But you know the crazy thing about that is he's been like that ever since he was born. I can remember him being just a baby, and I mean, he ate every 2 hours on the dot. You could tell he made a little sound when he got hungry. And I'm not going to make it for you because I'm not going to sound that crazy up here in front of y'all. But there was a certain cry that he had. And when he cried that cry, we knew that he wasn't wet. We knew that he wasn't bored. We knew he was hungry. He desired to be fed. And you know what? He would not stop making that racket until you finally fed him. But you know what? I believe that we as Christians, I believe there are times in our life when we do desire the Word of God, that we need to grow. We need that in our lives. But when we don't get it and when we don't feed ourselves, you know what? That's one reason that I think that coming to church is so important. I've got a lot of people that tell me that I can be saved and not come to church. And I won't argue that point. You can be saved and not come to church. I can live right and not come to church. But how much do you feed yourself Monday through Friday? If you didn't eat any more than that, I'll speak for myself. If I didn't eat any more physical food than that, I'd lose some weight. I'd become weak. And you know what? Without coming to church and getting the Word of God and getting my Sunday school time on Sunday mornings, I would become weak. So yeah, maybe you can make it Monday through Friday without coming to church. Maybe you can make it Sundays without coming to church. But I want to tell you something. If we want to grow and we want to get out of this baby stage, we've got to desire the Word of God. He said, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word. Get the truth. Don't get some old watered down mess. There's all kinds of stuff that you can get out here that I don't know if it's worth listening to or not. And I'm not talking about this or that. I'm just saying when you get into the Word of God, don't nitpick it to death. Don't get in here and say, well, yeah, I like that scripture and I don't like that one. The Bible says that it's all given, that every bit of it, and we're supposed to rightly divide it. So don't get in here and pick out scripture. He says, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. If you want to grow, you desire the milk. Now, there'll come a time in your spiritual life that you need to get off the milk and get on the meat. We're not talking about that tonight. We're talking about desiring the milk. How much do you really desire the Word of God? How much time do you really put in to seeking God through His Word? We're doing some our coaching, I'm going to save this, our coaching staff at our travel baseball team, and I'm part of that coaching staff. This year we have made a commitment to our parents that we are going to get coaching credentials. And man, I've been doing videos and tests, and one of our coaches, he is a high school coach, and he's been feeding us all this stuff, and we're getting coaching credentials so that we can say that we should be coaching. And yeah, we're bona fide. And I've been putting all this time into that. But you know what? I kind of got embarrassed today when I thought about how much time I'd put into softball and baseball this week and how much I'd put into God's Word. Baseball and softball is great. There's nothing wrong with baseball and softball. But what if I put that kind of time into God's Word and desire and the sincere? Hey, I should want to be bona fide by God. The Bible tells me to study to show myself approved. What if I put the same kind of time into God's Word that I do preparing for work every day? What if I put the same amount of time into God's Word that I do whatever it is that you do? What if you put that kind of time in God's Word? So many times we desire a whole lot of things. But I don't know that we desire the sincere milk of the Word that we may grow thereby. He says, as newborn babes are not going to go without the milk. They're going to keep crying. They're going to do whatever it takes to get it. You know what? There's a lot of, and I'm so thankful. Shane called me today, was wanting to talk to me about the new convert class. And talking about, hey, this is what I'm thinking about doing Sunday. What do you think about this? What does this word mean to you? I want to be sure that I'm on track. And he and I had a conversation about that. And man, I'm so excited about that. But even for the ones that are in the new converts class, if all you ever get is what Shane gives you up there, you'll starve to death. We got to get in God's Word and let God allow us to grow as we desire the sincere milk of the Word. If so be, ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. This past Sunday, I slipped into Danny Fenstermaker's class for just a few minutes, and we were in there, and he was talking about praying about different things and being prepared. And, you know, the thought hit my mind, how much time do you prepare? And I know this might be jumping subject just a little bit. How much time do you prepare to come to church on Sunday morning? You get up, you fix your hair, and you brush your teeth, and you eat your cereal, and what if we spend as much time getting down on our knees and saying, God, prepare my heart for service today? If you came to church, if I came to church already snuggled up to God, already saying, God, I'm ready to worship you. And you know, when I say that, I ain't talking about jumping circles and jumping out of the balcony and that kind of stuff. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about in your heart worshiping. If God leads you to run a circle around the church, it'll be okay. I prefer if you don't jump in the baptistry or anything in the middle of service. I prefer if you don't. But, you know, if God leads you that way, then we'll pray about it and see if we agree with that or not. But anyway, if you'll come ready to worship God, if you'll come, if we spend as much time getting ready on the inside as we do on the outside. And the reason I guess I'm saying this tonight is because I realize that I don't desire God's Word like I once did. I take a little bit of bite here and a bite there. And I say, man, you know, God's love is so gracious and the precious blood of Jesus Christ. But I'm just happy with my relationship with God. I'm not trying to draw closer. And preacher, you shouldn't be saying that. You're our pastor. You're our leader. Well, let's just be honest. Let's just get down where the rubber meets road. And I can say that I don't desire the sincere milk of the Word. When I get hungry for physical food, I find something to eat. I should stay hungry for this right here. This should be something I constantly say, God, I need you to show me something. And you say, well, preacher, I read it and I don't understand it. Anybody got that problem? Yeah, I've got that problem from time to time too. I read it and I don't understand it and I don't know exactly what's going on. And I go, okay, I don't know if I've done any good or not. But then there's times when I get in here and I don't even know what I'm looking for. And God just opens something up to me and speaks right directly to me. And I go, man, I've never seen that before. God knew just exactly what I needed tonight. God knew exactly the scripture that I needed to turn to. Sometimes I get in here and I just go and start reading. And then most of the time I go, nope, that's not it. And I turn the page. There's nothing wrong. But see, if you got that desire and you put just a little effort into it and say, God, here I am. For the next 10 minutes, I'm going to cut out everything else. Last night at my house, I knew that today was going to be crazy. My boss man came up, and I knew I was going to be in a meeting with him all day long. I knew that right after work that I had to leave work early and go get one of my girls from school, then hang out for the other one to get off the bus, because Autumn's gone about 2 hours away to watch Silas play basketball tonight. And I knew that my afternoon was going to get crazy. I ain't been home yet. I knew I wasn't going to have a lot of time to sit down and study. So last night I got in the house and I said, okay, everybody, 20 minutes of quiet time. Nobody speaks a word. And I got my Bible out. I mean, that's real religious, ain't it? I mean, that's the way you like to think about your pastor going in there and turning on gospel music and studying. But it's more like, everybody shut up. I got to study. Leave me alone. But, you know, as I was sitting there and I got to study, I said, why don't we do this every night? Why don't we have 15 minutes every night? And they would say, okay, we're going to dedicate this to God's word. We're going to desire some milk. We're going to ask God to give it to us. And you say, well, preacher, why should I do all of that? Why should I, as it was saying in chapter 1, why should I want to live for God? Why should I recognize that I've been redeemed? Why should I know that God foreordained all this plan? Why should I want, verse number 3 of chapter number 2, if so that you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Have you ever tasted the grace of God? If you're here and you're saved tonight and you say, no, I've never tasted the grace of God, we need to talk after service. Meet me out front. We're going to talk about it. But even since then, God has been so gracious and so good to my life. That's why I should want to desire a closer relationship. That's why I should desire to get into His Word and let Him speak to me. Some of y'all are my friends. And sometimes, notice I said some of y'all. Lynn's not my friend. Some of y'all are my friends, and I desire to have a relationship, conversation, back and forth. And if we don't talk in just a few days, I start wondering, I wonder if Alex is mad at me. I wonder if Ricky's mad at me. He won't talk to me. I wonder, and I wonder sometimes if God says, you know, it's been a little while since I've heard from them. But you know what? Sometimes we need to shut up and let God talk. Sometimes we need to say, okay, my prayer time tonight, I'm going to ask God to speak to me instead of me speaking to God. Because a lot of times, my prayer time is a very selfish time. A lot of times, my prayer time is all about me. God, I need, I want. God, I need, I want. Instead of saying, okay, God, what do you want? I'm here for your glory. God, I've asked you to use me. Now, what do you want from me? I want to ask you this. Somebody gave me this question a few weeks ago. In your prayer life, if God gave you everything that you're asking Him for, who would benefit from it besides you? Are you praying for anybody besides yourself? Yeah, I am some. But there's a whole lot that I'm not praying for like I should. There's a lot of people we're pretty good at praying for ourselves, ain't we? Desire ye the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Don't get stuck in babe stage. Don't get to a place where you're not asking God to reveal things to you in His words. And look, when I say there's no secrets in God's word, there's some things that you're never going to figure out here on this side. There's some things that I don't care how much you study it and you think you got it figured out. I think I've told y'all this before, but I really believe that one day when I get to heaven, that there's going to be a few things that I've really stood on. And I said, this is the way I believe, and I'm right on this. And I really believe with all my heart that God's going to come by and He's going to pat me on the shoulder and He said, good try, but you was wrong about that. I really believe that. Because there's some things in here that I just don't think I've got figured out. But I want to tell you that this is the living Word of God. And there have been times that I've read the same scripture over and over and over. And then right when I needed it, it clicked. Right when God knew that I needed that scripture, He's like, man, I'm glad that was there. Desire the sincere milk of the word. If we want to grow, we've got to get in here. We've got to study it. We've got to ask God to speak to us. And I don't believe that there's anything that we can do that would be better time spent than asking God to speak to us. He's done so, if so be, that you've tasted that the Lord is gracious. Why should I want a better relationship with God? Man, He's been way too good to me for me to sit back and say, I'm satisfied. we should never get satisfied with our relationship with Christ. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. God, I thank you for all your many blessings. God, I pray, dear Father, that you'll help me to desire your word. God, I pray that you'll help me to desire a better relationship, closer walk, as much as I desire the things of this world. God, I know this is all temporal. We're just passing through. But somehow or the other, God, I've let it become too precious to me. And God, I pray that you'll help me as I go from day to day, that I'll realize that what's really precious is that blood that redeemed me and the promise of your return, and God, in my relationship with you. Help me to put as much effort into that as I do everything else in this world. In Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.